Good evening, Ellie Nyman. Thank you very much for bringing me in, calling me up, and taking me in with all of your magic and technology know-how. And of course, we want to give a shout out to the one and only Jake Weinman for his incredible effort on behalf of all of us, the whole Kali Show, your enjoyment.com. Thank you very much for your kindness, your effort, your generosity, your incredible devotion. We begin by acknowledging our sponsor. We thank him for dedicating the church family Zeche Uli'ili Nishmas Manish Yitzchak Ben Aryeh. May his neshama have an aliyah. This week is Parshas Shoftim. Shoftim v'shoftim titim l'chol b'chol sherecha. Parsha begins. There are many, many mitzvahs in this week's Parsha. And I want to focus on, for the moment, one specific halacha. I'm referring to the law of Eidim Zeinanim. In this week's Parsha, we learn about Perek Yates. We learn about the laws of Eidim Zeinanim. What are the laws of Eidim Zeinanim? It's a very fascinating concept, where a person testifies that a person, you know, let's discuss a case. Two witnesses testify that Reuven murdered Shimon. And the Bezin, they investigate, they listen to the testimony, and they conclude that the testimony is valid, and they declare, based upon the testimony, that Reuven indeed is a murderer. We find that we have Shimon. Shimon is deceased, Reuven is alive. The two witnesses identify Reuven. They testify in court. The court cross-examines them. The court does a thorough investigation. They investigate. The witnesses are examined. We know that from last week's parasha. And then it is discovered that two witnesses come into court and testify, and they say to the court, how could it possibly be that these two witnesses have testified that Reuven murdered Shimon? How could they possibly know that? At the time of the murder, these two witnesses were together with us. They could not have possibly seen Reuven murder Shimon, because at the time that they claim the crime occurred, these two witnesses were with us in another location. So the halacha is, the two witnesses are put to death. They're put to death. Why are they put to death? That's Gezeres HaKasev, Asisim Loi. You shall do to Loi, to each one of the two witnesses, Kasher Zaman, what they planned, La'asayf Le'okhev. They planned to have the Reuven, they planned to frame an innocent man, and they were caught before he was executed. So we take these two witnesses, and we do to them what they wanted to do to him. They wanted to have him be put to death for murder. They now will be put to death. Now, there are many, many novel ideas and concepts in this halacha. Let's, for the moment, contrast this with one other case. What would happen if two witnesses testify that Reuven murdered Shimon, and then two witnesses would come into court and testify that we know for a fact that Reuven did not kill Shimon, because Reuven, the suspect, was with us during the entire time. He has an alibi. What then do we do to the two witnesses who testified that Reuven did indeed murder Shimon? The halacha is nothing. Reuven is off the hook because we don't know what to do with Reuven. On the one hand, there are two witnesses that claim that he did kill. And on the other hand, the witnesses claim that he killed. But the result is that let's say we prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. I said the case where two witnesses testify that Reuven did not. He was with us. Or let's say even better, we have absolute testimony beyond a shadow of a doubt that Reuven could not possibly have been the murderer. But the first set of two witnesses testified that he did commit the murder. The law is Reuven goes free, and nothing is done to the two witnesses who originally claimed that Reuven murdered Shimon. Now we have to step back and ask the question, what's the difference between this case and that case? In the classic case of the Torah where the two witnesses are executed, because they attempted to murder, to put to death an innocent man, how was their testimony discovered to be invalid? Because another two witnesses testified. How could you know this? How could you make this claim that Reuven murdered Shimon when you two witnesses, you were with us? In the second example, they're really doing the same thing. They're just coming to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Reuven did not murder Shimon. So what does that tell us about these two witnesses? That they were trying to frame an innocent man. So wouldn't it make logical sense that we should execute them for their attempt to execute an innocent man? Yet the halacha is no. What's the difference? So on a very simple level, there is a fundamental difference. The fundamental difference is not going to answer all of the questions. The mystery is about the law of Edom Zeninim. If you think about the law of Edom Zeninim, there are many dimensions to its novelty. But in the example that we've presented, there is a fundamental difference. And that is, when the latter two witnesses testify, how could you testify, period? You were with us. How can you say that Reuven murdered Shimon when you were with us? You, the witnesses who are making this claim, you were with us in a different location at that same time, and there's no way you could possibly have known. In that testimony, what they're in essence saying is, you witnesses are not who you say you are. You have created a new reality that doesn't even exist. You're claiming to be in a place and time that doesn't exist. You're coming to create a new reality. Whereas, in the second case, the other two witnesses come and testify that it was not Reuven who killed Shimon. It turns out that the witnesses are liars, but the second set of witnesses that proves the innocence of Reuven is not attacking or not coming to challenge the reality of the first two witnesses. The first two witnesses still maintain they were at a certain place at a certain time and they saw something. We know that it's not true because it can't be true, but they have maintained their identity. When a person testifies, you're not just testifying about the subject. You're testifying about yourself. Let's try to explain it in that fashion. When two witnesses testify that an event happened, they're not only testifying that an event happened, they're also testifying about themselves. We were present. We exist. We are real people. We have an identity. We exist. We were in this location, on this time, in this place, and we saw something. Now, it comes out that what they saw is mistaken, but that doesn't challenge the first element of their testimony of testifying about themselves, who they are, where they were, and at what time they experienced something. In the classic case of Edom Zeninim, there's something very, very disturbing, and that's what Torah is addressing. Two people, they're not just declaring that Reuven is a murderer. The two witnesses are creating a new reality. They're claiming that they exist in a world that doesn't exist, in a time and location that doesn't exist. That's very, very serious. That's something that is very disturbing. And by creating a new, identifying with a new reality that doesn't exist, and the result of their desire, of their testimony, would be the death of another human being, that's very dangerous. The Torah does not allow that to exist. These two people have to be put to death. Even though in many other situations where their suspect would go free, we wouldn't touch the witnesses. Here, when it's discovered that the false testimony is based upon witnesses establishing something about themselves that is not true, that's dangerous. Now, what is this relevant for? The very next section of the Torah begins the law of going to war against our enemies. And Rashi there explains, don't make any mistake, Rashi alludes to the idea, we have to see the words of Rashi inside in detail, to an observer who would look at these psukim, Rashi in essence saying, it seems very cruel. The Torah demands in many circumstances that the Jewish people completely obliterate their enemies, to completely remove them, not to have compassion, no compassion whatsoever. There are certain conditions where the enemy has to be completely, thoroughly eliminated. And Rashi explains, and don't be surprised, Torah tells us, if you don't do what the Torah says, these people will come to haunt you. They will come, they will be for you an incredible source of grief and pain in the future. Trust Hashem, and Hashem commands you to do this very difficult mitzvah, and Jews generally are mole rachamim, full of compassion. But there are times when Hashem does not sanction compassion. Rashi in the beginning explains the juxtaposition as to why this mitzvah of eliminating our enemies is juxtaposed to the law of Edom Zayinimin. Rashi gives some concepts as to why are these two mitzvahs back to back. Rashi tells us some beautiful Ma'amari Chazal. For the purpose of tonight's discussion, I want to suggest that there's another dimension here as to why the Torah is telling us about our enemies. We may not have Rachmanis upon them. It's similar to the story of the Edim Zaymimim. Edim Zaymimim is a shocking halacha. The witnesses only attempted to murder somebody. They did not succeed. The second set of witnesses who testified Imanu Hayisem appeared before the suspect was executed. So at the end of the day, the witnesses didn't do anything. And in many situations where the suspect is been proven to be innocent, the witnesses, nothing would happen to the witnesses. Even though the witnesses did not achieve their desired result, but because they were discredited by another set of witnesses who says, how could you know this? You were with us on that day at that time. They're executed. Why? As we explained, when a person creates his own reality, that's very dangerous. That's a very severe situation. The enemies of the Jewish people do just that. Unfortunately, when a person has a feeling of dislike, and there are many stronger words that we can use, but let's not go down that path, it can play with a person's mind. When a person is in a state of being where he is disturbed, he's upset, he's angry, he has hate, he has disgust, it can play with a person's mind. And the person can create for himself an alternate reality. And when a person goes down that path, there's nothing they won't do. The danger is extreme. The Torah did us a favor by trying to explain to us why it demanded that we eliminate our enemies thoroughly when the conditions are present, as are delineated in Halacha. And Torah is telling us, don't challenge the Torah. Hashem knows that although in our eyes it may seem severe, but there's a very, very grave danger, and it's unfortunate that this has to be done. The Torah did us a favor by juxtaposing the mitzvah of Edim Zaymimim immediately before the laws of going to war against our enemies in order to appreciate. Look at Edim Zaymimim. Two witnesses testify that Reuben murdered Shimei. And it turns out that it's not true. Why is it not true? It's not true because the witnesses created for themselves an alternate reality. They claim they were present on a day and a time that doesn't exist. It's just in their mind. And they failed. Yet, they would have failed because other circumstantial evidence, nothing would happen to them. Because if they claim they exist on that day and that time, and this is who they are, and this is the world, and they were mistaken, or even if they were deliberate, but at the very least, their identity is true. For example, let's say they would testify, we were at the murder scene, and it's true. We know that they were at the murder scene, but they testified that it was someone else. Okay, that's a terrible, terrible thing. They tried to commit murder, but they did not create a new reality regarding themselves. They created a reality of who they tried to frame, but they are true people. We were there. We were present on this day and this time. What we're saying, it turned out what they said was a lie because they have hatred for a person. They want to eliminate him. But at least for themselves, they were true. They were correct. They were there. They were there on that day and that time. But when a person goes so far to create a reality that doesn't exist, that's very frightening. That's the introduction to the laws of war in Eretz Yisrael, when there are very specific conditions, details that the Torah says, which I'm not even so sure, you know, it's not so simple to even if these conditions can be met in the world of reality, practically speaking. But the Torah theoretically talks about conditions where we're bothered. Where's the Rachmanus? The introduction to the law of Melchama is the law of Edim Zaymanim, to show us the nature of the human condition, to pay close attention and to understand how the mind works and how dangerous a situation can become. Now, look at your enemies. Are they creating a reality that's not true in order to express their hate for us? If we show them mercy, it's going to come back and haunt us, because such a situation of where people change the game, they change the rules of the game, they change the reality, they change the facts, and they create an altered reality, there's no end to it. There's no end. And the danger is much, much worse. May we only merit rachamim. May we only merit bracha and success. And we should study the laws of Edim Zaymanim to look deep down within ourselves to understand who we really are and know that we are Hashem's people, Hashem's servants. We are here to do His will, His ratzon, and may Hashem bless us, and we shall all merit success and bracha in the week ahead. And yes, Hashem, the coming year. It's not too early to say, Aksila v'chasima toiva. Have a good night. Thank you very much for listening and coming. All the best to you, one and all. Good night.